following is a KVON Sports presentation.
It's high school baseball coming to you from Napa, California. It's MCAL Baseball. The San Marin Mustangs coming in from Novato to take on the homestanding Justin Siena Braves of Napa. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a beautiful day for baseball. Like to welcome you to our broadcast. Say hello and nice to have you aboard. Our broadcast today is sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley sports boosters. I'm Ira C. Smith, and joining us today is former head coach for the Justin Siena Braves, Alan Rossi. And Alan, it's just great to be out in this kind of weather and watch America's favorite pastime.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful day out here. It looks like we've got some great weather on the horizon, so it's finally starting to feel like baseball weather.
A bit of a breeze blowing from right field over toward left could push the balls that way a bit.
Yeah, usually the wind tunnel at this field usually is right center. You get it up in that jet stream, and the ball really flies if you get it here. So we used to always watch the flag that is across the freeway there. I used to tell the outfielders, just look out there, and the flag across the American flag across the freeway will tell you exactly which way the wind's blowing.
Taking a look at the Mustangs coming in from San Marin over in Novato. They are coached by Jamie Vitone. This is his fifth year as the head coach, but his 12th year in the program. So that means that Alan Rossi has been in contact on the opposite side of the diamond for quite some time.
Yeah, coached against Jamie my last couple years. You know, he had taken over after Mark Whitburn, who had been there forever. Mark had a great relationship with Mark. Was sad to see him retire, but great tradition, baseball tradition at San Marin High School. They run a great program. They always have great athletes, and it's always a competitive game when these two teams get together.
Well, the coach for the Justin Siena Braves of Napa is Jeremy Tayson. This is his second year as the head coach, but his fifth year in the program.
Yeah, you know, Jeremy came on as my freshman coach, I believe my second to last year. Really liked his youth and enthusiasm, and he's trying to turn things around here. It's been a little frustrating the last couple of years, but I truly believe that he's headed in the right direction.
Well, speaking of youth, he certainly has a young team. In fact, we were looking over some of our score sheets from last year, and in some of the games, he does not have any returnees from the players that participated in those games.
Yeah, very, very young, which is good. Obviously, the future is going to be bright. They're struggling a little bit, but played their best game of the year on Tuesday.
Yep.
Against Novato, winning 3-0. And Jeremy had told me that it was their most solid game in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and a sophomore, Nolan Dunkel, was the starting pitcher, went 5 1/3 innings, got up only 3 hits, struck out 6. I think he walked just 1 in that competition, too. And the left side of the infield provided a lot of the support there with Sutter and Will Natuzzi doing the job.
Yeah, you know, they've been a little banged up. Sutter didn't play the last time that we were here, Ira, against Marin Catholic. And, you know, you lose your shortstop and your leadoff hitter. It's crucial to your team. So he was back last game, and what it does is it shores up your defense and your offense.
We'll be back and hear from the coaches as they set the scene for this upcoming battle in the MCAL. Justin Siena hosting San Marin coming up in just a few moments. Welcome back to Braves Field in Napa, California. And before this first pitch of the game, let's find out the perspective on the contest from their respective coaches. Jamie Vitone at San Marin, we ask him a bit about today's game.
Coach Vitone, tell us how this season's been rolling along for the Mustangs.
It's been going well. We've been hanging in there, playing good baseball. We ran into some sickness and injuries, but we've come back from that, and we're ready for the second half of the season and the final stretch.
Looks like you have quite a few seniors on that roster.
Yes, we do. We've had a very experienced group mixed with a couple young guys. We're really happy and proud with our group of kids and how much work they put in over the years. It's always nice to have those seniors.
How has the weather affected your playing conditions on your home field?
There was a good 3 weeks where I think we got one practice in throughout there, but we got games in, which is the most important part, so we never really got backloaded game-wise. But it was tough to get out and play some games when you're not getting your work in the field.
What about yourself? Where are you from? Are you from the Bay Area? Or?
Yes, I'm from Novato, born and raised, and now married and with two kids living there, too.
Well, tell us a bit about what you're expecting from this team in the final half of the season.
I'm expecting our leadership to step up and these seniors to lead us in a strong direction and be competitive, you know, reaching playoffs and make a run at this thing.
Many of the seniors have an opportunity to go on and play baseball at a four-year school next year.
Yeah, we're looking at, I think, two or three of our guys are interested. They're looking at College of Marin. We've got a couple juniors that have been visiting colleges as well. But, yeah, it makes it a little more exciting when you got guys looking to take it to the next level.
Well, those are the comments from Jamie Vitone. And, as I mentioned, his fifth year. And, Alan, you can definitely identify with his comments regarding playing conditions of when you have the wet weather, as you were coached for many years and experienced a lot of those days when you had to take the team into the gymnasium.
I don't miss those days. You know, you can get some work done inside the gymnasium, but it's really hard. You know, it's okay to do it for a couple days, but when you're in there for a week, things get, you know, a little monotonous. So if it wasn't raining, we would be, you know, either out on the asphalt taking ground balls, or we could hit in our tunnels that are concrete and have AstroTurf on it. So, but yeah, I did, that was probably the downside of coaching baseball is when the bad weather was here, because of trying to find some place where you can at least do some sort of practicing.
Well, let's find out what the Justin Siena Braves coach has to say about his team, the way the season has gone. Jeremy Tayson is in his second year in that capacity.
Well, that was a big win over Novato. Must have made you feel pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good little monkey off the back, so to speak. And to be perfectly honest, it's the best we've played in 2 years here. We had all phases clicking, and it looked like the kind of baseball we've been striving for. So for everyone, practice yesterday was nice and energetic. You know, it feels good after a win always.
Are the positions pretty well settled, or are you still tinkering?
You know, we're always looking, you know, being like we talked last time, that we're young. You know, there's always going to be some competition and always – you know, who's the hot hand at the time. But, you know, what you see is kind of what you get, but, you know, if a guy's hot, we're going to go get him.
Have you stuck with the same roster, or have you brought anybody up from JVs?
No one from the JVs. They're actually more of a freshman group with only four sophomores, I believe. And so, you know, who we have is who we have to this point.
What's coming together for the Braves?
I would say just, you know, learning how we want to go about it and putting it into the game. I mean, like we talked about last time, it's kind of been one inning's been our bugaboo, so figuring out how to play 42 outs of varsity baseball with a young team has kind of been, you know, what's gotten in our way. So what's coming together is we're figuring out how to play the full 42.
And those are the comments, Justin Siena. Coach Jeremy Tayson, and this is his fifth year in the program, his second year as the head coach for the team, as he follows Greg Evans, who had come here from New York for 1 year, and then went back to New York.
Yeah, James, Greg, it was a short stint. He was one of my assistant coaches, and then took over the head job, and then headed back to New York. So, but yeah, that's been the struggles for Justin Siena, has been that one big inning. We try to always stress stay away from the beginning. You know, if you get the first couple guys on defensively, you try to limit the damage and stay away from the beginnings. And so if they can eliminate that, it looks like they've been in every single game. So, last time these two teams met, they ended up losing Justin Siena on March 12th to 9-1. But I think it was a close game up until about the fifth inning. I think it might have been a 1-1 game. And then, like Jeremy said, they had a couple of mistakes and kind of collapsed in that one inning, and I think San Marin scored about six or seven runs. So stay away from the beginning, and they'll be in the game.
Well, Justin Siena comes into this game with 4 wins, 8 losses, and 1 tie in league play. They are 2-7. But here, Alan, is the interesting statistics that you can identify with. In Division III, they are 4-3-1. They need 2 more wins in Division III to qualify for the North Coast section play.
Yeah, and that's always key, is to make sure you're winning your Division IV games, because of the MCAL being so tough that you never know how you're going to come out of those battles at the end of the year. So, you know, making the MCAL playoffs is going to be a stretch at this point, but you never know if they get hot. But really, they're looking forward to just qualify for the playoffs.
The Mustangs from San Marin have won 7. They've lost 6. There have been 2 ties in their schedule. And in league play, they are 5-3-1. So they've been playing some good baseball, leading the league. And as you probably know, they are a perennial power in the MCAL, Drake.
Yeah, Drake. Drake had a big win on Tuesday against Redwood. It was actually a battle of first place. I think both teams had 1 loss, and it sounded like Redwood had kind of owned Drake. Even last year, when Drake won the overall league championship and the playoff championship, and actually went on to win Division III section championship, they lost to Redwood twice last year. So Redwood kind of owned them, but Drake played and Redwood played the other day, and Drake won, I think, 8-4. And so now they've really taken the reins now of the lead in the MCAL.
Yep, 8-1, Redwood 7-2, Marin Catholic at 6-3. San Marin's in 4th place in that 10-team MCAL with their 5-3-1 record. And then Branson and Tamalpais are tied at 5-4. San Rafael is at 3-5-1. Terra Linda at 3-6. Justin Siena at 2-7. And Novato still looking for that first win. They are 0-9. Overall, Novato is 2-13.
Yeah, the one thing about the MCAL, and I think that we've heard this before, is that anybody can beat you on any given day. It's a very competitive league, and even though you might be playing one of the bottom teams, if you look past that team, they can reach up and bite you. So, you know, if Drake wants to continue to try to lead, they cannot have any letdowns, because I don't care who they're playing, they're beatable. In fact, I think they're 1 loss. Might have been against Branson. So anyway, it's a competitive league, and so you know, I don't care who you're playing, you better be ready to play or you'll be in trouble.
All right, we'll be back with that first pitch in a moment from Braves Field in Napa, California, as it's the Marin representation, MCAL baseball, San Marin against Justin Siena. Well, we're back here at Braves Field along with Alan Rossi. This is Ira C. Smith coming your way on KVON 1440 Napa, California, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. As we mentioned before, nice to have you along, and we're set for some exciting baseball. The Justin Siena Braves have just taken the field. On the mound will be Tommy Lopez. He is a junior. He is 0-2 on the season, and let's find out from his coach what we might expect from him.
Sure. Tommy's a guy that's going to have to pitch backwards. You know, he's going to start more off speed early in the counts and try to speed up his fastball. He's a tenacious dude, and he's not scared to put it over there and kind of see what happens. What you're likely to see today is kind of a by committee deal. It's a 3-game week, and we had a tremendous outing by Nolan on Tuesday, so that bought us a little bit of room for getting into the next 2 days. We only had to use 2 guys Tuesday, so we have 6 guys that could throw today or tomorrow.
And that was Jeremy Tayson talking about his starting pitcher, Tommy Lopez. Well, Tim Malloy has popped into our broadcast booth. And, Tim, before this first pitch, let me ask you how the move has gone over there for your insurance agency.
It's gone really well, Ira. Thanks for asking. We hope to have all of our furniture in by next Saturday, which will be good. And then we're continuing to look for new employees, and we're business as usual. It's been great.
Where are you located now?
We're at 1700 2nd Street in Napa, downtown, about 2 blocks away from our old office.
Okay. Well, here we go. Ready for the first batter to come up, and it's going to be Connor Moylan. He is a junior. He's the opposing pitcher, by the way. Tommy Lopez on the mound. John Horn is his catcher. Nolan Dunkel is over at first base. Will Natuzzi starting out at second base. Asher Sutter is the shortstop. Alex Curley is over at third base. Antonio Hernandez gets to start in left field. Sebastian Vaughn is in center field. And Noah Young is the right fielder. Leadoff batter Moylan is a left-handed batter, and here Lopez comes in with the first pitch and takes it down low. So we're underway, Alan, and it's ball one.
Yeah, and Connor Moylan, he's batting .355 on the year, so he's got a great batting average as a leadoff guy. Batting from the left side of the box, he's probably pretty quick out of there.
The right-hander delivers and just missed, not by much. In 13 and two-third innings, Lopez has allowed 16 runs, so a little more than a run per inning. And the next delivery is over for a called strike.
Yeah, he struggled last time we were here, Ira, with strike one. You know, he seemed like he was behind on every hitter, and he's starting out 2-1 here.
He's only 5'11", 135 pounds, and he delivers a breaking pitch that broke over. Nice pitch there on 2-1 that makes it a two-ball, two-strike count to leadoff batter Connor Moylan.
That's a great pitch. 2-1 curveball is a great pitch.
It's pitcher opposing pitcher to start the game. Ooh, that missed, but not by much. Tried for the inside corner to the left-hander.
Yeah, it was a little bit down. He's got to give in here. You know, at three, you don't want to walk the first guy. If he hits his way on, you can live with that.
Josh Franks, the center fielder, is on deck to be followed by Jake Schmidt here in the first inning. Ball is hit down to the second baseman. Natuzzi has it over to Dunkel at first in time, and a 4-3 putout to start this ball game here at Braves Field.
Yeah, and that was a 3-2 curveball, Ira. Mm-hmm. So he's got confidence in his curveball, which is really key in the MCAL. If you can throw those off-speed pitches in a hitter's count, you'll be successful.
Jamie Vettone is coaching down the first baseline. John Palmini is coaching. There he comes out, walking over now to the coach's box there down the first baseline, saying something to the base umpire as Franks steps in, and the first pitch to Frank is over for a strike. Josh is just a sophomore. He is 6'1". He's a right-handed batter, plays center field defensively for this Mustang team, and the 0-1 delivery breaking pitch hits out into center field for the first hit of the ball game as Franks hit the ball between the shortstop and the second baseman, and Sebastian Bond came in to field the ball and return it to the infield.
Yeah, Franks is batting .356, and he has leads the team in hits, and so that was a 0-1 curveball that he sat back on and punched it right back up the middle, and that's what you should be doing.
Yep, timed it beautifully. Well, another one of their leading hitters is their catcher, Jake Schmidt, a junior. What's he hitting, Alan? He takes the pitch outside for a ball.
He's batting .333.
Boy, I tell you, these 300 hitters in
there.
They are.
The top of the order looks pretty solid. So, you know, they're that's their strength, it looks like. Probably towards the bottom of the order, they get a little bit weaker. But top four or five guys are tough.
Yeah, it's right-hander facing right-hander as the pitch is down low. Nice stop by John Horn behind the plate. After Schmidt, Matt Lozovoy, the second baseman, is scheduled up here in this top half of the first inning. No score as Lopez delivered, tried for the outside corner, and just missed. But that runs the count to 3-0.
And that was a good spot. I mean, he hit, you know, it was right on the corner, a little bit outside. So, you know, 3-0 against a three-hitter. Probably got to give in here.
And that pitch missed the outside corner for ball four. So two batters in a row reaching first base. That one on a free pass to Jake Schmidt moves Josh Franks down to second base in scoring position. Lozovoy, the 6'3 senior that bats in the cleanup spot, another right-handed hitter facing the right-hander Tommy Lopez. Checks the runner off second. Breaking pitch broke the outside corner then.
That's a good pitch. Yeah. Lozovoy is hitting .250 on the year. It's pretty low for a four hitter.
Lozovoy at the plate. Bo McAndrew on deck. On the mound, Tommy Lopez checks the runner, delivers the high one. Didn't break down.
Yeah, another breaking pitch. A little bit inside, so he's throwing two breaking pitches to the four hitter, which is good.
And the hitter looks down the third baseline to coach Jamie Vettone. Now pitcher checks the runner, pitches outside. Nice stop again by John Horn. Well, Alan, when you were coaching, you had some outstanding catchers.
Yeah, definitely. You had actually Mark Castellucci my last year. Had I started off with Rick Carpenter, who was one of the greatest catchers ever to play here.
Here is the pitch. That's down and away. That runs the count to 3-1. So Lopez coming close here to walking his second straight batter.
Yeah, I understand being a little fine here, but at some point you got to throw a ground ball here, try to use your defense.
Lozovoy at the plate takes the pitch, and it is outside, ball four, and that'll load him up.
Yeah, and that's an easy take. You know, that's outside on the dirt. He's just trying to pick a little bit, and, now he's got himself into a jam, with two walks and a hit. And Jeremy Taysen's going to come out to the mound and talk to Lopez.
Yeah, with McAndrew coming up to the plate, they have Lozovoy at first base. Schmidt is the base runner at second, and Josh Franks over at third base with one down here in the top of the first inning.
Yeah, and, McAndrew's only batting .244. So at this point, you got to throw strikes. Walks are not your friend at this point. Use your defense. You're really one pitch from getting out of this inning. You throw a ground ball to your infielders, and they can turn two, and then you're out of the inning. But you got to start off with strike one, and you got to work ahead, not behind.
Well, these teams come in both with winning streaks,
yeah.
Albeit one in a row. All right, here we go. Lopez delivers to the plate. Boy, just missed the inside corner there to McAndrew. Bo McAndrew is a six-foot junior. He's up there with the bases loaded and one out here in the top half of the first inning. No score yet in the game. Ball is hit but goes down foul. And nice right-handed grab by the third base coach, Jamie Vitone. Well, Alan, your first tour of duty was something like 12 or 14 years, and then you took a little bit of time off, then you came back for another 4 years.
It was actually eight and then four.
Oh,
so
is that what it was?
Yeah, it seemed like it was 14 years, though, the first time.
That's what I thought. The next pitch just missed the outside corner.
Yeah, it's a ball. It's right on the chalk line of the left-handed hitter's box. So
Christian Peterson is on deck. The delivery, that is over. And the batter was taken.
I think he was looking away, and Lopez ran the ball on the inside corner. It was a good pitch by Lopez.
McAndrew the batter, Peterson on deck. The delivery, and the ball is popped up in the infield. They may call for the infield fly rule, and they are. They called for the infield fly, so the runners could only advance at their own situation, and they elect to stay on the base as the second baseman, Natuzzi, puts it away.
Yeah, one thing, if I was coaching Lopez, I would tell him that in that situation, he needs to be backing up a base. So he standing in the middle of the diamond, he should be somewhere between third and home, Ira,
right.
And then react if there's a play at third or home. So
that's
part of being young.
Christian Peterson, the first baseman, looks at the first pitch and hits it foul down the right field line.
Yeah, Peterson's batting .172. So, the first three guys have pretty good batting averages, and then it starts really falling off. So Lopez should be challenging here. You got a guy up that's batting a .172, and, you're going to go ahead and challenge guys and use your defense.
Peterson is one of five seniors in this starting lineup for the Mustangs. As the breaking pitch, it's hit foul down the right field line. So he's coming around just a little bit late on his swing.
Yeah, and, you always teach your players to make adjustments. And so, and they are. And I'm looking right now at the outfielders and the infielders, and they're making adjustments. That's a great job.
Young, the right fielder, is pulled over now a little bit to his left. The 0-2 delivery missed outside.
That's a good block by Horn. It's 1-2 pitch or an 0-2 pitch in the dirt, and Horn did a great job saving a run there.
Yeah, he's been – now there's not much difference or much distance between the home plate and the backstop here. The breaking pitch, and that is hit foul off to the right.
Yeah, that pitch was up a little bit, which is hittable. So, yeah, but there's enough backstop here that if there's a pass ball, run's scoring.
Yeah.
Horn, in the last couple games I've seen him, has done extremely well at blocking balls.
The 1-2 delivery from Lopez, and the ball is hit toward right field. Right fielder coming over. Now he's going back. Then he gets there, gets under it, and he makes the put out. And Tommy Lopez gets out of a jam here in the top half of the first inning. No runs, one hit, no errors. Three runners left on as we go to the bottom half of the first inning. It'll be Sutter, Dunkel, and Curley coming up for the Braves. Moving now to the home half of the first inning. Asher Sutter will lead it off. Nolan Dunkel and Alex Kirtley are to follow. Checking the balance of that batting order for the Braves. John Horn catching and hitting in the number four spot. Tommy Lopez, the pitcher, hitting fifth. Noah Young out in right field. Max Castellucci in the seventh slot. Will Natuzzi batting eighth and playing second base. And Sebastian Bond out in center field is hitting in the number nine spot for the Braves. No score moving into the bottom half of the first inning. And our first chance to see the right-handed pitcher, Connor Moylan, who does not have a record. He has worked seven innings so far this season, and he has given up six runs in those seven innings. So he's a junior in school there.
Yeah, this shows me that, you know, they had three games this week. They had one on Tuesday, so they probably threw their number one guy. Sam Morin is probably saving their number two. So they're kind of looking past Justin Siena here, and I used to always use that kind of as motivation. I was saying, you know, this team doesn't think you're good enough, so they're not even going to throw their one or two guy against you. So we'll see what they can do. But Asher Sutter's leading off, and he's batting 270 on the year, kind of battling some injuries.
Well, I remember in my senior year playing baseball, and I'll just tell you about one particular incident here in a moment, but let's see what Sutter does here on the first offering, and it is a strike to him, 0-1, so Moylan is ahead. We were playing the best team in the league, and they had their best pitcher on the mound, and here Sutter is ready with his next offering, and that missed, but not by much.
A little bit on the outside. Definitely, yeah. Umpire has been consistent. He's not getting everything on the outside.
But I remember I hit the ball. I thought it was pretty good, right? The shortstop had to go quite a ways. He stopped the ball, was able to get to it, and threw over to first base, and I beat it out. And that was what I thought was a hit, but they called it an error, and that I was the only base runner, so the guy got a no-hitter, and I still question that should not have been a no-hitter.
It should not. You can't give an error on that.
I know, but they gave him an error for not getting the ball over there in time. And I still think of that when I watch baseball. So you have certain things that stick in your mind. And you do. Probably
there's
do
things
too.
That, oh, absolutely. I have a lot of memories. You know, not like that, but a lot of memories.
Connor Moylan, the right-hander with the 2-2 count, comes into Sutter, and he swings and misses for strike three. Asher Sutter, the shortstop, he was 10 for 37 for a 270 average coming into that at-bat. And that'll bring Nolan Dunkel. He's just a sophomore, about 5'11". He's had 11 for 39 for a 282 batting average. He's a left-handed batter, plays first base defensively today for the Braves, as Moylan, who struck out the first batter, missed on the outside on his first pitch to Dunkel.
Yeah, Dunkel's batting 282 on the year, and he's, the fifth boy Dunkel to come through the school and through the baseball program.
And you had a bunch of them.
I had, I think, four out of the five.
The next pitch to Dunkel. The ball's hit towards center field. Center fielder going over, going to his left. He gets under it. He's there to make the put out. Well stroked by Nolan, but right where the center fielder could get to it.
Yeah, and most of the time that I've had the Dunkels on my team, they've been one of the best players on the team. So great baseball players, great family. And I really like Nolan. I like the way he handles himself, and he's a good pitcher, and the way he hits the ball.
Here's the third baseman, Alex Kirtley, 5'8 junior, hitting at 286, right-handed batter. Two down, nobody on for the Braves. And the fastball is hit to his foot. Ooh, that stings.
Yeah, that hurts for sure. So
he's walking it off.
Kirtley's batting 286 on the year. So, you know, yeah, that hurts. That's no fun. So,
well, Connor Moylan coming right through here with retiring the first two batters that he had faced. As I say, he'd only worked seven innings so far coming into this game where he gets the start. Has a sign from Jake Schmidt, his catcher, and the swing and the ball is fouled to the backstop.
Well, it didn't look like his foot was hurting on that swing, that's for sure, so he recovered quick.
Christian Peterson playing first base. Matt Lazovoy is at second base. Jason Bernardi, the shortstop. Willie Chesterolo is the third baseman as the 2-2 delivery is swung at and fouled.
Actually, no, it's a strikeout.
Oh, it is. Okay, I thought that the umpire was indicating.
Yeah, it was an 0-2 pitch curveball in the dirt, which is a great pitch, 0-2. And the catcher did a great job by blocking it and then throwing first for the final
out. And he throws him out at first base. So two strikeouts out of the first three batters that Moylan has faced. And the Braves go down 1-2-3. We go into the second inning, and it's the bottom third of the batting order coming up for the Mustangs. No score in our game here at Braves Field. All right, here we go in the top half of the second inning now. Wyatt Hill, the left fielder. Willie Chestarolo batting second. Jason Bernardi hitting in the number three spot. The bottom third of the lineup for San Marin of Novato.
Yeah, and you really want to take advantage of the bottom of the order here. Hill's batting 125. Castarolo's batting 128. And Bernardi's batting 200. So this is really where you want to challenge hitters and use your defense if possible.
Well, Tommy Lopez looking into John Horn to get his signal here to start out this top half of the second inning. And the pitch is hit high in the air going out to center field. Center fielder Bond coming over, getting under it. And Sebastian Bond makes the put out. And that is one up and one down here in the second inning. Willie Chestarolo coming up. Later on this afternoon, early evening, we'll have Golden State Warriors basketball from San Antonio in the third game of that playoff series. Pitch is taken. It broke over. Called strike one. Chestarolo, the third baseman, he's about 5'10". He's a senior. Holds that bat up high. The 0-1 offering coming his way, another breaking pitch, stayed up high with that.
Yeah, a little up.
Who works with these pitchers now as far as those breaking pitches?
I don't know who their pitching coach is. I don't think Jeremy does. I think they do have a pitching coach. I'm just unsure.
There's the fast one that just missed outside. Two balls and one strike, one down, nobody on. No score here at Braves Field in the second inning.
Looks like it's Sam Alton. You know, he's listed as the pitching coach.
Here's the delivery. The ball is hit foul, goes out of play.
And that was like a defensive swing. You never want to see your hitters, when the hitters count 2-1, 3-1, have a defensive swing. You really want them to get a good pitch, and it was almost like he fought that pitch off.
Chestarolo holds that bat high as the pitch comes in. He swings, pops it up in the infield. Shortstop going behind second base, calling for it, getting under it. Didn't have to battle the sun very much because he was kind of looking away, whereas the second baseman would have had to battle the sun.
Yeah, and, you know, make another point as far as Lopez is the pitcher. You know, he should be going to second base on that because both middle infielders are going out to short center field. And, you know, these are all young things that that he'll learn.
Mm-hmm. And probably the coach pointing that out to them, Jeremy Taysom, back in the dugout. Jason Bernardi takes the first pitch up high for ball one. The senior shortstop swings and hits the next one to left field. Left fielder coming in, shortstop going back. Left fielder does not get there in time and lets it fall in front of him.
Yeah, he actually broke back on that. Yeah. You know, what happens, like the batter took a full swing on that. And so as an outfielder, you see the full swing, so your first reaction is to step back, and that ball actually hit off the end of the bat, mm-hmm. and that's why it fell in front of him.
Yeah, he did not get a good start on the ball.
Yeah, it's always tough for an outfielder on that.
At least he played it on the high hop instead of trying to make a shoestring catch of it and missing it and having it roll behind him. The leadoff batter takes it pitch inside for ball one. Connor Moylan, the opposing pitcher of Tommy Lopez, is up there now. That, by the way, was the second hit for the Mustangs. There's a quick throw to first base. Diving back safely is Bernardi.
I would anticipate that San Marin's going to run here. You've got the number one hitter up, and you've got the nine hitter on the base with two outs. You know, if he gets thrown out, you got your leadoff guy leading up the next inning. So I expect them to run at some point.
That's taken inside for ball two.
They might not do it with, you know, a 2-0 count, but if it goes to 2-1, I expect them to probably turn him loose.
Franks is on deck, and he had a base hit back in the first inning. When the Mustangs threaten, next pitch is inside as well.
Yeah, he's not going to run now for sure.
Yeah, 3-0. Lefty at the plate, righty on the mound. Lopez looks in, has delivery, Over for a called strike. 3-1.
And he could hear. This is a good pitch to run on 3-1. You got your leadoff guy on. Mm-hmm. Probably a pretty good eye. You know, anything close, he's probably going to be swinging.
Two down here in the top of the second inning. No score in the game. Ball is hit to the backstop. Foul. That makes the count go full. Josh Franks, the on-deck batter, is one of the youngest players on the team at 6'1", and a sophomore.
I noticed Dunkel's holding the runner on here with the full count. Probably should be playing behind with a left-hander hitter up.
Well, another throw to first base. Diving back again is Bernardi. Moylan waiting at the plate for the full count. Here is the 3-2 delivery coming into him. Popped up on the left side. It's going foul. Third baseman coming over in foul territory. He drops the ball. Curley was right there. It was in his glove, and he let it pop out.
Yeah, those are the little things that that drive you nuts as a coach. First of all, you get out of the inning. You know, pitcher makes a great 3-2 pitch, and now he has another life. And so you just hope that it doesn't hurt. You hope that.
So you'll give an E5 on that.
I would give an error. I would give an E5. I know that some coaches wait to see what the batter does, and if he gets on base, they give it an error. I still think it's an error.
Here's 3-2 delivery again. There goes the runner. The ball's hit right to the shortstop. He gloves it. There's his long throw to first. In time, and Franks is retired. Or rather, Chet Moylan is retired, 6-3. Franks was still on deck. So no runs, one hit, one error, and one runner left on as we go to the bottom half of the second inning. The heavy hitters, Horn, Lopez, and Young coming up for the Braves. No score in our game.
Well, welcome back to Braves Field. We're here at Justin Siena versus San Marin. It's going to the bottom of the second inning. Nothing score for the Braves. Braves won their last game against Novato 3-0. They're trying to get things turned around here, and so they're going to be leading off John Horn here in the bottom of the second inning.
Horn's to be followed by the pitcher, Tommy Lopez. And then it's Noah Young scheduled up for the Braves as we go into the bottom half of the second inning. Horn batting 256. He is a 6-1 junior. He's had 10 hits and 39 at bats. As the Braves try to get somebody on base, they went down 1-2-3 in that top half, or the bottom half, we should say, of the first inning.
Yeah, two of them by the via the strikeout, so that's not a good sign. Dunkel did hit the ball on the nose.
Yep.
Second, his first at bat number two, but other than that, the other two bats, weren't very good. So I'm pretty impressed, actually.
Well, now, well, John
Moylan.
John Horn's doing a good job as catcher. The Braves were looking to have Matt Baker back as catcher this year.
Yeah, unfortunately, he got hurt early in the football season. I think he had two tears in his knee.
And the first pitch is down low to John Horn, taken for ball one. Right-handed pitcher Connor Moylan in his second inning of work on the mound. The tall, slender right-hander looks in, gets the sign, rocks into motion, kicks that left leg, and delivers the ball. It's hit sharply left field, but it's going foul. It'll be out of play. Came around on that.
He's got a quick bat. Really like the way that, first of all, the way he handles the pitchers, but I've been impressed, too, the way he swings the bat.
Yeah. Young team. Let's see, they have just one senior in the lineup. And the ball is hit back to the shortstop, fields it near second base, throws to first base, not in time as Horn beat it out. That was a slowly hit roller that the shortstop, Bernardi, was able to get over to keep it to the infield. But the speed of Horn, you don't think of a catcher usually as having that much speed, but a leadoff single for the Braves here in the second inning.
Yeah, and there's what we were talking about, your story, Ira. So right there, that's a hit. You know, it's a slow ground ball. You can't give a guy an error. I mean, he fields it clean, and the base runner throws it out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, he ends up safe. So.
Yeah, on my play, they gave the shortstop an error just so the pitcher could keep his no-hitter.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
I know. Here's the hesitation on the mound by Moylan. His pitch inside almost hit him.
Oh, I thought it did actually hit him, but no. Lopez batting 259. He's got an opportunity to help his cause here.
Yeah. I even remember the pitcher's name, Tom Rethlake.
Oh, boy, that's really stuck with you, hasn't it?
It does. All right, Lopez is the batter. Young is on deck. Base runner at first base is Horn. On the mound, Moylan looks in, has a sign.
There goes the runner.
The ball's hit back to the pitcher. Looks at second, decides to go to first base for the sure out. And Lopez grounds out pitcher to first. But they had the runner on the move there. Otherwise, that would have been a DP.
It would have. And Lopez was trying to go the other way, which is what you're taught. But I used to always I really wasn't a big enforcer of that. I just don't tell the kids.
Make contact.
If it's inside, you turn on it. If it's outside, you go the other way. Just hit the ball where it's pitched.
Here's a left-handed batter, Noah Young, at the plate. He is just a freshman. Talk about a young team.
Yeah, and I really like Noah Young.
At one time, he was leading the team in hitting. Here's the pitch to him. Inside. He had to back away from a fastball.
I think as a freshman, he's very mature. He seems like he's a true baseball player. I think he has a really bright future.
He's listed about 6 feet tall. He doesn't look that tall.
Not quite.
He's slender build.
Yeah.
Here's the pitcher checking the runner off second. Delivering. Oh, he fired one inside, and Young had a cut at it.
Yeah, it definitely was not a strike. So just.
It evens the count, though. One ball, one strike, one out, and one runner on. And one hit so far for the Braves. And that's Horn, who takes the lead off of second base now. Young at the plate, and he shows bunt, takes the pitch outside and high.
Yeah. I mean, it's good, you know. It's you show that. At least you get some movement as far as the infielders.
Max Catalucci on deck, the designated hitter today for the Braves. He's 6 foot junior. The freshman Young waits on the 2-1 offering. Here's Moylan checking the runner again off second. Now his pitch to the plate, and the ball is bunted foul over by the on-deck batter. Well, it looks like they're playing Alan Rossi-type baseball now.
Yeah, it looked like he was trying to bump for a hit there, but I like it. I was a big believer in trying to put pressure on the defense as much as possible. So, and it just gives the other coaches something to think about in the player. So.
Cesterolo, the third baseman, is playing about the edge of the infield grass, but he has to contend with the runner in case Horn starts down that line from second to third base. Young at the plate, the 2-2 delivery is on the way to him, and he swings and misses. Not a very good swing.
No,
there.
He was stepping in the bucket a little bit, and so probably from the earlier pitchers that were inside, and so probably was thinking they were going to come back inside, and instead they spotted the outside corner and. So we get two outs here.
Here's Max with two X's.
Castellucci.
He's a right-handed batter.
I wonder if he's Italian.
He goes to Justin Siena, doesn't he? All right, here's the pitcher, Moylan, looking in and delivering the fastball right down the middle.
Yeah,
boy, Castellucci,
pitch.
Like to see that one again.
Yeah, but, you know, Max, is he's had four bats and two hits this year, so he's coming off the DL, as we say. So he's just kind of getting back into it.
He holds the bat back high. And the he held up in time, but the pitch was over. Wow, that was a questionable call.
Yeah, that wasn't a strike earlier, so looks like maybe we got a little change in the strike zone.
Castellucci gets the designated hitter assignment today instead of Dom Moore, both of whom are juniors at Justin Siena. Here's the 0-2 delivery on the way, and a swing and a miss, and again, two strikeouts in the inning, the same as the first inning, and Moylan doing a nice job here as he has struck out four in two innings. We go to the third inning, and it'll be Frank Schmidt and Lozovoy coming up for San Marin. No score in our game. You're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Along with Alan Rossi, this is Ira C. Smith. Just happy to be out here at Braves Field today. The game moving right along. We're in the top half of the third inning.
Yeah, definitely a good flow to the game. Nothing. San Marin, you know, Frank's a. He had a base hit the first time up. It was a really good swing. He went right back up the middle on a 0-1 curveball. So we'll see what he can do here leading off the second.
And the first pitch to him is over for a called strike. Frank is a sophomore, plays center field defensively, got around as far as third base and was left there when Peterson flied out to the right fielder to end that first inning. He takes pitch down low.
Looked like a pretty good pitch.
Yeah.
Lopez has started him off with two straight curveballs.
Frank's the batter here in the top of the third. Watch one that just missed the outside corner.
Yeah, that was definitely outside.
Yeah. It's interesting to watch how an umpire will give the corners or not give the corners, both inside and out.
You know, I was okay with that as long as they were consistent. You know, we'll make adjustments.
Oh, yeah. Here's the 2-1 delivery. That's the breaking pitch that didn't break. If it did, it went the wrong way.
Yeah. It looked like, I don't know if it was breaking pitch or he was trying to come up a little bit with the fastball. So, 3-1 pitch here. I think he's got to give in.
Let's see if Franks can hit the ball. And he does towards center field. Center fielder coming over on the run. Reaches out and grabs the ball. Nice play by Sebastian Bond out in center field for the first out here in the third inning.
Yeah, that was a 3-1 curveball again by Lopez. So he trusts that pitch, you know, when hitters counts. And I like that out of
now, who's calling the pitches, you think?
I would bet it's probably the pitching coach, Sam Alton.
Okay. Here is the pitch that stayed up high to Jake Schmidt. Schmidt walked the first of two consecutive batters to draw walks back in the first inning that eventually loaded the bases with one out. But Tommy Lopez got out of the jam without anybody scoring. And that's where we stand now, 0-0 here in the top of the third. And the ball is hit toward right field. Little number, second baseman tries to run it down. He can't get to it. And Schmidt is on with a single with one down here in the third inning. Well, even though the right fielder, Noah Young, came in to field the ball, that was almost what you consider an infield single as Natuzzi tried to bat it down.
Yeah, Iron, I'm noticing that Sebastian Bond is now catching. I don't know, was there a change there?
Oh,
we just didn't get it. And Horn is in now center.
All right, I didn't catch that. So they made that change without, I didn't hear an announcement either. That's.
I don't know if something happened with Horn. Anyway, so that's been the change.
Okay, so it's not Bond out there. All right, here's the delivery from Lopez. Way outside, gets past the catcher, goes to the backstop, and that allows the runner, Schmidt, to round second base, and he goes back to the bag. You know, Horn was really doing a nice job on that type of pitch into the dirt.
I just wonder if something maybe happened, because he was doing such a great job back there that I wonder if...
Well, he got that base hit, and he was left at second base when the inning ended. Pitch is over for a strike.
Unless they made that switch and we didn't see it earlier in the game. So anyway.
Yes.
Anyway, 2-1 count here. One out.
Tommy Lopez delivers. Boy, just missed the outside corner there. Schmidt is the base runner at second base. And he goes back and stands right on the bag. Now he'll take a lead. Shortstop showing he might try to cut in. So does the second baseman. But the pitch is made inside for ball four. And for the second time, Matt... Lazovoy walks.
And it looks like Jeremy Tayson's going to come out and talk to Lopez again.
Bo McAndrew.
Actually, he's going to pull him, it looks like. So.
Oh, yeah, here in the third inning with one down. So he went 2 1/3 innings.
It looks like they're going to bring in Toby Hillard.
Okay, well, let's see what we have on Hillard then. As Toby is a 5'11 senior, weighs about 150 pounds. He can play infield. He's a right-handed pitcher.
Looks like he's 0-2 on the year. Mm. He's had three appearances. Pretty high ERA, 11.20.
Well, it's interesting. The three outfielders have gone out to center field there, and they're having a little gab station out there at straightaway center.
I'm sure they're talking baseball.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The infielders are all four of them huddled around the bag at second base.
We brought up about the Warriors playing tonight, and just sad news by Greg Popovich's wife
passing away.
So
I know, and I'm sure that Steve Kerr, who is a friend of Popovich, was really taken by
that.
Well,
I tell you what, he's the most respected coach in the NBA. Everybody really respects Pop and what he brings, and they admire him. And so I think it's really that the all of the NBA family is feeling it. So he's not going to be coaching tonight. So I'm sure San Antonio's got added incentive tonight to play hard for Popovich. So it's going to be tough for the Warriors.
You know, it's interesting that they bring Hilliard in earlier in the season. Well, just about a week or so ago, they didn't have enough players that they could make many substitutions.
Exactly. So
so that now they're getting healthy again.
Yeah. So
good sign.
Like McAndrew's up. He's batting .244 in the year.
While Lopez was out there, he walked three batters, only allowed three hits, one in each inning. Pitch just missed outside. So Hilliard starts it out with a ball one count to Bo McAndrew. Popped up to the second baseman with the bases loaded in the first inning for the second out. That was a big out in the inning. Pitch is outside.
Just, entirely too many walks. For me, I think your infielders get bored, your outfielders get bored. And so you at some point, you got to compete as a pitcher.
Yeah, the wind, what there is blowing out. The pitch is taken, and it's over for a strike.
And that's really been the difference between Sam Moran Moylan and Justin Siena pitchers. Moylan is competing. He's challenging the hitters and peppering the strike zone.
Here's the 2-1. There goes the runner. The ball is popped up to the right fielder.
He has a
chance for a double play. There's his throw to second. In time!
Yep.
And they got the TP as the base runner, Schmidt, had taken off for third base. The ball was popped up to the right side. It went all the way out to the right fielder, and it turned into a double play going 9-6. Was it six? The shortstop covered.
Yep.
In the inning, no runs. There was a hit, and there was a runner left on. We go into the bottom half of the third inning. It'll be the number 8 and 9 batters, and then the top of the order coming up for the Braves. We're scoreless here after 2.5.